Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah continues our series, Making Life Work, with a message titled, How to Live a Memorable Life. Now here's Pastor Ray.
The general fund of the missions team, and they will distribute that as the need and opportunity arise. They've had some pretty amazing projects. One was the building project in, I think it was in Panama, right? Panama, somewhere down there. It wasn't in Nicaragua. It was in Panama. It was in Central America somewhere, and there were some extra expenses with that, and then we've also done the Discovery Project, and so their fund is running a little bit low, and so I want to replenish that in this offering, so if you just let the Lord touch you with that, I know that it'll be a blessing, and we'll see more and more stuff like that as we continue to do the mission that God has called us to change the world, and we're going to do it. We are doing it, and I'd love to talk about that more, but we got some other things to do, but keep that in mind as we come to the end of the service. I don't know, many of you may have saw this, but on Thursday, major news sites released the following headline. It went like this. Perhaps you saw this. It says, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump both have image concerns heading into the general election. Image concerns. No. Really? Image concerns. You think maybe they have some image concerns? You know, the common mistake that both politicians on the national scene and people in this room make is to assume that reputation and respect are a matter of image. They're not. Scripture says that to build a respectable reputation, we've got to focus on character, not image. We got to focus on our character, not our image. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, it says, a sterling reputation is better than striking it rich. A sterling reputation is better than getting elected president. And a gracious spirit is better than money in the bank. A gracious spirit is better than $100 million in the Clinton Foundation. It's better than owning Trump Towers. A gracious spirit means there is gracious character in God's eyes. You know, our next president probably will get elected in large part because of a carefully crafted image. Whatever that image is, they are carefully crafting their image to get elected. But that will mean squat on Judgment Day when we have to give account for our calling and election before God. The Bible says, make sure of your calling. Make your calling and election sure. And I honestly, I do. I feel bad for people that are running for office today, at least the ones that we have right now, because I fear for them on Judgment Day. Unless their character gets conformed and reformed by Christ. Now, some of you are going, well, you're being judgmental today. I'm not. I'm just a fruit inspector. Bible says you'll know them. You judge them by their fruits. And I fear for people like that unless Christ conforms and transforms their character. God measures what's in our heart, not what's in our head or our checkbook, or how many people that we can convince to vote for us for president, or to friend us on Facebook, or to follow us on Twitter. God looks at the heart, and it's our character that needs to be carefully crafted. There was a famous newsman in the 1800s by the name of Horace Greeley. And he said it like this. I think it's great. It's true. He says, fame is a vapor. Popularity, an accident. Riches take wings. Those who cheer today may curse tomorrow. Only one thing endures. What is it? Character. The great evangelist from Chicago, Dwight Moody, said, if I take care of my character, my reputation, my image will take care of itself. Well, we're in the book of Proverbs these days, and this is a big theme in Proverbs. Now, as you understand by now, Proverbs doesn't categorize themes. They don't go in sequential order, but scattered throughout these random, if you will, thoughts are these themes that we come up with. And a big one in Proverbs is reputation, is respect, it's character. And we're going to talk about that today because Proverbs identifies several qualities that will lead to a respected life. Several qualities we're going to talk about that will lead to a respected or a respectable life. And they're not about carefully crafting our image. Not a one of them have to do with crafting your image. They all have to do with cultivating godly character. And so on this Memorial Day weekend, when we honor the true heroes of our nation, those who have died in defense of our nation, as we honor the real heroes of the United States, I want to suggest to you how you too, how I too, can live a memorable life. So that one day when we get to the end of it and others are looking at the evidence of this journey that God has put us in between the dashes of between our birth and our death, we will have lived a memorable life, a memorable life of stellar character. Now, let me just say this again. We're going to be all over the book of Proverbs this morning. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures today, so if you're taking notes, there's a lot of them coming, so just get ready. Also, I'm going to give you these scriptures from a variety of translations, and that's going to bother some of you who are a one translation person. I want you to know I've looked all of these up. I've compared them. I've studied them. They're accurate. The translations that we use that I promote here, I believe are scholarly. They're accurate. They're good, okay? So don't get worried about that. If that bugs you, just bear with me today. I just think you're going to see different nuances from this topic by looking at these verses in some different translations. But let's talk about these qualities that will lead to a life that is respectable, a life, a stellar life of godly character. So the first one, it starts with this. This is where it starts. A respectable life is earned through integrity. Everyone say integrity. Integrity. Don't you hate when pastors do that? They say, hey, say this. Say integrity. Yeah, you're not going to do it. Oh, yeah. That's done. That's it. You're done with that. It starts with integrity. Proverbs 11:20 says this, God delights in those with integrity. The past president, the late president of World Vision, Ted Engstrom, wrote an entire book called Integrity. He talked about integrity. Talked about what integrity is. And then he said, integrity, your integrity is a holy thing. Your integrity is sacred before God. And it is absolutely foundational to a respected life, a respectable life. You got to start with integrity. If you skip that, you're never going to hit what God has called you to, integrity. Now, what is integrity? Well, it's simply this. It is the congruence of your core values and your daily actions. Your core values, your deeply held beliefs, and your daily actions. It's the marriage of your beliefs with your behavior. You know, a lot of people say they believe in certain things, but they don't live that way. A lot of people live a certain way, and it has nothing to do with how they say they believe. It is living out what you say you believe. It is actually doing what you say you will do. It's doing what you say you will do. That's integrity. You know, one of the things that I'm proudest of, if we can have any pride, I think it's a godly pride, but one of the things that I'm proudest of in our African work is how the indigenous leaders, the denominational leaders and indigenous leaders in Africa have many times, and some of my team that goes there with me will attest to this, have come to us and they've said, we appreciate you because you're different. You're different because you do what you've promised. Now, on one hand, that's very sad, isn't it? That other ministries and missions have come to Africa and probably around the world and they promise things that they've never delivered on. We don't do that. We've learned not to say, we've learned not to intimate things that would be good, that we say, oh, that's a good idea, because they will take that as a promise. We will only promise what we mean to fulfill. And I've watched others come and say, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and I know good and well that they won't and they can't do that. And so our African leaders say, thank you for doing what you promised. We can count on that. Well, here's what the Bible says will happen for you when your reputation is built on the foundation of integrity. You will enjoy security in life, for one thing. You will enjoy security in your life. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 teaches that whoever walks in integrity walks securely. You're not always looking over your back. You're not worried about being found out. You're not worried that they're going to take a look into your bank account or into your computer or into something else, because you are who you are. You're living out what you say you believe. You are in the light what you are in the dark. You're in the dark what you are in the light. There's no difference. You are a person of integrity, and you will live securely in life. And then you will live a life of impact. People of integrity make an impact, make a difference in this world. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "Those who walk in integrity, how blessed are their children after them." If you had parents of integrity, they said what they meant and they meant what they said, they did what they believed, they lived it out, you are blessed, aren't you? If you had parents of integrity. If you didn't, you're here, you're a parent, you're a grandparent, you may be a parent someday, make sure that you make that your high value. Be a person of integrity. You will be a person of impact. You will bless your children and your grandchildren after you. And I talked to a person today whose mother just passed away, elderly mother, Christian, godly woman, passed away on Friday. And they were telling me that out of 30 children and grandchildren in that family, this mother was a patriarch. Out of the 30 or so that were in that family, they all are following Jesus Christ. That's because somewhere along the line, a person lived a life of integrity. Make that your high value. And then you will live joyfully. Psalm 119 verse 1 says, "Joyful are people of integrity." There's just this godly joy that bubbles up from people that walk the walk. And you will get noticed. Psalm 84, 11 says, "The Lord gives grace and glory." Now, we know the Lord gives us grace, right? We're all here because of his grace. And we think that all the glory goes back to God, but you know that God shares his glory with you? I mean, that's how gracious God is. He will allow his glory to spill off on you when you walk in integrity. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. There's a holy Jewish writing called the Talmud. And this is what it says. It says, "Monuments to the righteous don't need to be erected. Their acts are their memorial." Their acts, their lives, are their own memorial. Your integrity becomes your personal public relations director. You don't need to hire a firm. You don't need to hire somebody else. Your personal integrity will champion that, will trumpet that to the people around you. And God himself will recognize you before man. Your integrity. So lay a foundation of personal integrity. Live out your core values. Be who you say you are. And you are on your way to living a memorable life. Then a respectable life is earned through humility. Integrity and humility. Proverbs 18:12 says, "Humility comes before honor." Humility comes before honor. The Bible says that the way to greatness is not through ascending, but it's descending. It's a descent into modesty and meekness. Our culture says that humility is timidity, that it's weakness, that it's a flaw in our character. We don't have a reality show that says that it's called "Who Wants to Be a Servant." I've not been to a leadership conference, and I've been to several. I've never been to a leadership conference that teaches you how to serve. Humanly, we don't value humility like the Bible champions being humble. The Bible says that humility is the true path to power. You want to live a life of impact and respect? Humility is the true path to power. A humble person gains wisdom, Proverbs 11:2 says. With humility comes wisdom. You want to walk in wisdom? You want to have wisdom at your fingertips? You want to be known for wisdom? Walk in humility. Walk in true humility. A humble person gains wisdom. They're modest enough to learn. They want to grow. They don't have all the answers. They're willing to learn from life and to learn from people. "Teach me how to walk in wisdom," they say. And God grants them divine understanding. And when God grants you divine understanding, wow, will people want to follow you? A humble person gains divine favor. Proverbs 22:4 says, "Humility's rewards are riches, honor, and life." If we walk humbly before our God, he promises to bless us in ways that stagger the imagination. God's promise, not mine. Humility leads to riches, honor and life. And then a humble person gains the respect of others. A truly, authentically humble person gains the respect of others. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23 says, arrogance will be your downfall, but if you're humble, you'll be respected. If you're humble, you'll be respected. As I read this verse and was thinking about that for this message this week in my study time, I thought of my mentor, Charles Blair. You've heard me talk about him before, pastored the historic Calvary Church for 51 years, great man of God, started planting churches. This is where I got my start in Africa, now long before I came here. Now, I remembered an occasion back in 2007 where Charles and I went to Florida to be a part of a very small Christian leadership conference. And in that leadership conference were people like Jack Hayford and R.C. Sproul and Reinhard Bonnke and John Bevere, and you know some of the, I mean, just the biggies of the big in preaching and in Christian media. I mean, they were small, but there were a lot of, everybody was known, everybody was famous, except for me. Dr. Hayford was our moderator, and he paid tribute. He paid a special tribute to Charles during that conference. And before those other leaders, he paid tribute. He recognized him as the greatest example of a pastoral perseverance and respect and humility and integrity over the last 50 years that he had ever met. And the leaders in that gathering, the 30 leaders, you could just see that the respect for Charles was just palpable. And yet when we had introduced ourselves at the start of that conference, each of us stood and introduced ourselves, Dr. Blair had simply stood and he said, I'm Charles from Denver, and he sat down. Unfortunately for me, I had not been so humble when I had introduced myself right before Charles. I saw all these great leaders, and I thought, who am I? Why am I here? And I thought, I need to pump up my bona fides a little bit. And so I stood up, and I said, I was in California pastoring a church at the time. I said, I'm the Reverend Ray Noah, the senior pastor of the Valley Christian Center in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I'm the president of the Charles E. Blair Foundation, blah, 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 blah. And then Charles stood up right beside me, and he said, hi, I'm Charles from Denver, and he sat down. Ugh. The old man just schooled me in humility. Oh, my goodness. I just kind of hunkered down in my seat. Oh, humility. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself before the Lord. He will lift you up. Cultivate humility, and God will exalt your reputation and cause you to be respected. You want to live a respectable life, a memorable life? Cultivate humility. Further, a respectable life is earned by dependability. Dependability. Dependability means that you're trustworthy. You follow through. You're faithful in the little things. And that earns God's respect. Proverbs 25:15 says, the trustworthy person will get a rich reward. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord delights in people who are trustworthy. Dependability means that you'll do what you promised, even if it costs you dearly. Psalm chapter 15, verses 4 and 5 says, he that keeps an oath, he that keeps a promise, even when it hurts, will never be shaken. That's both dependability and integrity. I mean, if you make a promise, keep your vow. Even if later on you discover, oops, I made a mistake on that, that's going to cost me. It's an honor to keep your vow, even when it hurts. And God will reward you. You will never be shaken. Dependability means keeping a confidence. Keeping a confidence. Proverbs 25, 9 through 10. It warns, don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never again regain. You'll never regain your good reputation. Once it's gone, it's hard to get back. If you can't be trusted, your reputation will suffer injury. But contrast that with those who keep a confidentiality, who are trustworthy. Proverbs 13:17 says, a dependable person is a healing presence. They're soul healing. They're soul medicine. A dependable person. So cultivate dependability. Moreover, respect is earned through generosity. through generosity. Proverbs 11:24 tells us that the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And I believe that that's talking about not only financial blessing that the Lord wants to add to you, but influence as well. It just gets larger and larger and larger the more generous you are with the blessings of God in your life. Psalm 112 verse 9 says, "He who gives generously will be powerful and respected." 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 9 through 14. 9 and 10 especially says, where the Apostle Paul teaches, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. Paul goes on to teach in that passage that the generosity that we show to others will be the very thing that they lift up to God in grateful prayer. Right now, all around the world, in Central America, the schools that were the recipients of the Little Davy Project, you know, Tammy Hincus and what she's doing in Romania, what we're doing in Africa right now, today, as they have met in church, they're already done by now, but as they met today, I'm telling you, they were lifting up gratitude to God for you and your generosity and what we've done. We become an offering of praise to those who have been helped by our visionary generosity. St. Francis of Assisi said this. He said, keep a clear eye toward life's end. Remember that when you leave earth, you can take with you nothing that you received, fading symbols of honor, the trappings of power, but only what you have given. The only thing we take with us is what we have given, and given in faith, and given in obedience to the Lord. Proverbs 21:26 says, "People who obey God are always generous." Proverbs 11:25 says, "A generous person will prosper. They themselves will be refreshed." If you want to live a memorable life, cultivate a spirit of extravagant generosity. You want to live a memorable life? You want to be respected in time and eternity? Cultivate an extravagant generosity in your giving, in your spirit. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that today before we go home. In this missions offering, you're going, okay, you're manipulating us now through your sermon to give more. No, I'm not. I'm really not. Because in this missions offering, I don't get anything out of it. I really don't. I don't take a cut out of this, whatever comes in. If you gave $1 million today, I would not take anything out of it. We would not use any of that for the church. It would go to where we promised it would go. And I'm telling you, it goes beyond the four walls of this church to people who are poor. Poor in spirit, poor in body, poor in economy. It goes to works here in Portland, like the Compassion Clinic. We need to support them. You know, like what we're doing overseas, it will go beyond this church. And so I'm not getting anything out of this except the blessing of seeing God bless you and give you a memorable life by your extravagant generosity. So this is an opportunity, it really is, for you to do something beyond what you were planning on doing, to say, God, I'm all in. I want to be a part. I want to be a part of your kingdom, and I want to be a part of being blessed, as your word says. Cultivate extravagant generosity. And then finally, a respectable life is earned by godliness. This is a famous proverb that we quote all the time as a source of guidance. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We could all quote it together. In fact, you're welcome to, as I quote it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Right? It's a good promise. It's a good template for guidance. But if you were to back up in the context of verse 4, you would find the pretext for that promise, for that template. Verse 4 says this. I'm going to read it from a different translation that I just quoted. It says, if you want favor, here's the pretext, if you want favor with both God and man, and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely. In all you do, put God first, and he will direct and crown your path, crown your efforts. If you want favor with God and with man and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, pursue godliness. Put God first in all you do, and you will get it all. Again, not my promise, but God's. You will get it all. Favor, blessing, and best of all, a good reputation with people who matter most in your life, and most importantly, a reputation with God. You get it all. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and all these things will be added unto you. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, delight yourself in the Lord, maybe it's verse 4, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Look at that again. I started out with that, and I want to close with this. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. It says, again, it says, choose a good reputation over great riches, for being held in high esteem is better than having silver or gold. You know, I want to encourage you as we wrap up this sermon, we do our final offering, final prayer, final offering. On this holiday weekend, on this Memorial Day weekend, when we are memorializing other people, that you would move from just celebrating the holiday to stepping into living a memorable life. You can do that. Follow this guidance, and you will step into living a memorable life. Live with integrity. Do what you say. Live what you believe. When you go back out there, be known for your integrity. Live a life of integrity. Live humbly. Forget about yourself. I mean, just for a moment, forget about yourself and think about others first. Live dependably. Live dependably. Show up on time. Return things that you borrow. Fulfill your commitments. Follow up with people. Live a dependable life. Live generously. Try your hand at lavish liberality. In a moment, I'll give you the opportunity. Try your hand. Just try your hand at lavish liberality. And then finally, live righteously. Live righteously. Put away sin. Whatever it is, put away sin and pursue God. And if you dare, sustain that. Sustain those things, not over this Memorial Day weekend, but if you dare, sustain that for the rest of your days. And when you leave this life, you will leave memorably. Because that day is coming for all of us, unless the Lord comes back before then. That day will come when we will leave this life. How do you want to leave memorably? You leave memorably by living a memorable life. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, a good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you, who were helped by you, will remember you when the forget-me-nots have withered. Carve your name on hearts and not on marble. Carve your name on people's hearts and not on marble. The best tombstone is your good character. It really is. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 7 tells us, a good and honest life is a blessed memorial. A good and an honest life is a blessed memorial. And that is my prayer for you and for me too.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.